Your music listening device has been taken over by the Geeks for the Win crew. Your device will be returned to your control after you hear from Mark, Stuart, and William geek out over comics, video games, TV shows, and movies. Everything and anything considered geek.
And welcome to yet another episode of Geeks for the Win podcast. This is a special episode. I mean, it's kind of an in-between. It's 6.5, I would say. And we're recording, you know, a different time. We're recording on a Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard. And I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart.
Hello.
And our special guest, which we've had quite a few times. So he's kind of an unofficial co-host, Matt.
Well, thanks for having me.
And unfortunately, Mark has to work, so he wasn't able to join us. But
sorry we missed you.
Yes, so sorry, you know, things just, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, sadly. But we'll record an episode with him in a few days. This is a special episode. Basically, you know, we go talk about comics a lot, comic book movies, or TV shows, animated cartoons, just, you know, we like comics. And this past weekend was a comic book convention that Matt had the privilege to go to. And, well, Matt, you want to talk more about it, since, you know, myself and Stuart discovered it. Basically, you know, I discovered it from you tweeting about it.
Yeah, sure, I'll be happy to. Well, traditionally what has happened in the Chicagoland area, there's normally an anime con that happens in the early summer, maybe about May or June, I believe, and followed later in August by Wizard World putting on their comic convention. In recent years, the support has waned from the big two, those being DC and Marvel. So their support really was dropped, and it became mostly just a celebrity signing and I guess kind of like a comic sales expo with independent artists as well. But this year, the people that have brought us PAX, as well as the upcoming San Diego and New York Comic Con. They were officially endorsed by Marvel and DC, and they brought a convention to Chicago, in the springtime now to kind of kick off the, the unofficial summer season. So they both had, Marvel and DC, and the convention was Chicago Comic Expo, or Entertainment Expo, so it kind of broke down. They, shorthand was, C-squared, E-squared, but in Twitter, since you can't use sex exponent, I said, it was just C2E2. So, kind of, it was just a big sci-fi geek out, really. Well, you know, comic, sci-fi, everything geeky, really. Just what the show's about.
Yeah, and that makes two for you this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, and soon to be three, it looks like.
Yeah.
Lucky.
PAX Prime, as they're calling it.
Do some simple financial planning, and you know, we'll be happy to have you out there.
I'm definitely gonna make it. I just, you know, just gotta wait for the money to, you know, saving money. Just gotta wait for the time to buy the tickets, but I'll definitely make it.
Understandably.
Okay, so, you know, I guess maybe you want to describe what your experience and, you know, what you saw. Basically, and we could just ask questions throughout, you know, we can interrupt you and ask questions, I guess.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Well, normally, previous Chicago Comic Cons have been held, at, Convention Center near the O'Hare Airport, which is on the western end of the city. And this was held at the lakefront, at the McCormick Place Convention Center. And it's a huge improvement. You know, it almost gives a little bit, it gives more prestige to the event too, just because it's the same place that the Chicago Auto Show is held, as well as other, conventions. There's so much space there and so many different, convention halls. They were, C2E2 was competing with the kitchen and bath expo. So, you know, there's like housewives and geek, you know, and nerds. So, you know, not only are the teens, you know, going to McCormick Center, but also their moms that drove them there are.
Yeah, moms dropping off the kids. Oh, yeah, that's also hilarious.
Or the, you know, the 35-year-old that lives in the basement, so they saved on parking. Yeah, I don't care about that. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, you know, hey, if you can save on parking, that's awesome. But, yeah, so it was, I said it was kind of a cruel joke because where they were having all of us park, specifically for the C2E2 convention, that designated lot was on the far east end, and the convention center's on the lakefront. So you had to walk about a half mile to get there.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, so, you know, not really the best planning, you know, not the smartest planning.
Hey, that's extra steps for your Pokey Walker.
That's true, it was that. But, you know, there's some people that it was, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, had a shuttle or something to get picked up there. But I thought it was kind of a cruel joke, but still, I didn't mind the exercise or the walk. It's nice, kind of just, you know, seeing all the different people that are coming and going. I don't mind people watching either, so. But when you walk into the convention hall, you can see where this huge space that they had for a queue to register. And I got there about midday, and, you know, that had been completely cleared out. I'd already gotten my ticket. So, you know, waiting in line wasn't a big problem for me. What I did miss out on, though, unfortunately, was the initial swag bag that you get. You know, and having a bag to hold would have been really nice just because I had some stuff that wasn't necessarily going to fit in my messenger bag. And I coincidentally forgot, you know, one of my, I guess, little satchel bags from PAX East. Specifically, I was going to use the Pokemon one, but sadly forgot it. But when you walk in there, I was blown away. I hadn't been in this part of the convention hall in a long time. And before, the ceiling was high, but it wasn't too high. This was easily maybe like, man, it had to be like a 65-foot ceiling or something. So, you know, ventilation and airflow wasn't a problem. And it just made things the square footage that they used was perfectly laid out. It wasn't too crowded. People didn't really feel too packed. You know, you weren't really bumping into anyone. You didn't feel hot or anything. But it was laid out very well, so I give them a lot of credit for doing so. But when you walk in, you're kind of it can be overwhelming, but this was really nice and easy. So, you know, it wasn't like PAX East where there were 65,000 people crammed into, you know, these little spaces, you know, where you were literally, it seemed like at times, shoulder to shoulder with people. But you could see the two big sponsors, DC and Marvel, they were side by side, you know, competing for attention. And while I spent some time in Marvel, at Marvel's area, I got a picture with a couple of, I guess, booth babes, as you could say. I think one was dressed as American Dream and the other one was what I thought was Black Cat.
And I saw that on Twitter and all I gotta say is nice.
Unfortunately, you know, they were both very pretty, but Black Cat is very well endowed in the chest. Traditionally, as artists have portrayed her, the model necessarily wasn't, but that's okay. I'm not gonna rag on her.
All I gotta say is you better watch out. Bayonetta'll come at you for, you know, cheating on her.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, I didn't see any Bayonettas walking around, so, you know, I couldn't pull like a Brock from, Pokemon. Marvel was really highlighting their the Heroic Age, which is, as they're kind of touting it, it's an event that has been building for 7 years, ever since the start of the Civil War, which is really hard for me to imagine that, you know, just to understand that Civil War was 7 years ago. And now they're trying to get back, they're trying to, you know, rebuild back to their you know, to their roots. I know that they haven't really decided. The book hasn't dropped yet of who's becoming the real Captain America. You know, who's taking up the shield. Tony Stark's back after, you know, his leave of absence. I haven't caught up on his book. But they're really touting it, and they're starting up the Avengers. They're, like, rebooting that. So they were really playing up the heroic age and showing up the Avengers. I think it also has something to do with the future tie-in of the movie.
Of course.
And, you know, aside from, you know, that comic side, they were also really high on Thor, Hulk, and Iron Man 2. You know, they were doing their advertisements for that. And I did get to play Iron Man 2 for the 360. So, yeah.
How was it?
It seems like it's going to be another movie tie-in game following in a great tradition.
I remember playing the demo for the first one, and that was just god-awful. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't seem very polished. It almost seemed like, sad as it is, like, you know, first gen 360 graphics or even PS2 graphics on the 360. It wasn't very clean at all.
And they're going to charge $60 for it when it should be something like $29.99 or maybe even $19.99.
Easily. I didn't get to ask any questions. I didn't see anybody there that seemed to have a lot of knowledge of the game. But something I would be hopeful that would be smart would be to have co-op play over the story, you know, playing with, you know, Iron Man and War Machine side by side. I got to play as War Machine. It was a demo with him, and I think that's what the only demo was with War Machine. I saw somebody and they were playing with him. But you have unlimited ammo. You're pretty much invincible, it seems like. The HUD isn't really a HUD. It's kind of like whatever you see, it will mark targets down. But other than that, you're kind of on your own. There's no map. There's no radar. You know, it doesn't really show what weapon you're using unless you switch it. And you were switching with the D-pad. So it's sad to say that there haven't been many great strides in, you know, movie tie-in games. You know, Wolverine, X-Men Origins, or X-Men Origins Wolverine. I didn't get to play that. I heard that was a pretty decent game.
I heard it was better than the movie.
It was actually better than the movie. But, you know, it was still okay.
Huh.
Right.
May have to pick that up sometime soon just to give it a shot.
Yeah, as soon as, you know, I'll pay 20 for it, you know. as soon as it drops in price a little bit more. It's sad to say that they didn't really put more to it, you know, or more effort. It seems like it's just gotten the back burner treatment. And it is looking like it's going to come across all platforms, including the DS. You know, I think maybe they just dumbed it down to be like Wii level and say, okay, let's just do some basic control mapping, for the other systems.
How was the flying? That's the big thing. Was it easy or was it?
You use the the left bumper to fly, to initiate flying. But when I hit a mini boss, which was this, I don't know, like walking tank, you couldn't fly up, which to me didn't seem like a whole lot of sense because the whole point of Iron Man and War Machine is to be able to fly and kind of use a 3D space as opposed to, you know, just, you know, run over here, run over there. You know, the enemy intelligence didn't seem very good. Maybe it was just because it was a demo and they didn't want to throw you a big curve or anything, but the boss, there were a lot of flat, quick time events where if missiles were coming at you, you could, you know, press B and you would shoot them back, you would reflect them back. There were some really kind of half-assed ones where as the walking tank got, you know, lower in its, quote, health, you know, you would press a button and then, you know, War Machine would, you know, grab its leg or punch through something. So, you know, you really couldn't. It wasn't anything like God of War or Dante's Inferno where, you know, you have to, you know, be on top of this, you know, event. I think I even pressed the wrong button at one time and he still did something. So, yeah, I wouldn't have very high
expectations. Yeah, and see, that game's probably gold, you know, that was probably the finished version, you know, since it's about to come out soon.
Yeah.
So there's no even excuse for that, you know, cause a lot of the times, games, you know, aren't it's just the built version, not the, you know, complete version, but that's about to come out.
Right. I mean, I can actually see why now. I think Sega's producing it, but I can see why Sega didn't have a presence at PAX East, because they would get killed at PAX East with, you know, any kind of previews or initial impressions with that.
Well, they had Bayonetta, so.
Well, yeah. Right, but Bayonetta seemed to have its own team and its own dedication, as opposed to this was kind of like, hey, let the interns make it.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with an Iron Man game is the same problem as with a Superman game. I mean, you've kind of got the same mechanics going for you there, because, you know, you've got to get the flying right,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to get the combat right, and you've got to get, you know, foot travel kind of right, too, because when you got to get in small spaces every now and then.
Right.
See, that's not a problem. If you have a good team, they can, you know, nail that stuff easily. It's just, you know, just the companies are just trying to shell out a game just to associate with the Iron Man name since the movie's coming out. That's why movie tie-in games are so horrible, is because they're just trying to make something, you know, half-assed, you know, just to throw out with the movie. Because people are going to buy it.
It's purely a business move, and this isn't one that's made for the fans. Not like, you know, Super Street Fighter 4 HD Remix, whatever, you know, 0.5, whatever version is coming out. You know, it's not one that's getting the love, you know, the TLC or, you know, the dedication that even, you know, Battlefield Bad Company 2 or, you know, even a Modern Warfare 2 or Halo Reach is going to get. Because, you know, for those guys, that's the one game that they're focusing on for, you know, that they've been focusing on for years. Or, you know, a year and a half or whatever the turnaround is.
So. Yeah, that's a good example. I personally have Super Street Fighter 4 pre-ordered.
I sucked at the first one. There was no way I'm picking up the next one.
I guess, you know.
So with Marvel done, I guess I'll rant on DC. DC, what I noticed from them was a lot of action figures, statues, and busts that are coming out. They didn't seem to really play – well, they did play up their comics because the Darkest Night is ending, that story arc, and, you know, all the tie-ins from there, which has dominated their stories for, I think, the past 8 months or so. So they're now focusing on the Brightest Day. I know that they've reintroduced Flash back into the universe. I have to actually read that, but from what I saw at their, at their stations, there was a huge line for some artist signings. So of course those get the most attention and the most base dedication, but, it was a lot of statues and busts. I did take some pictures. I'll post those on the Open Forum Radio Facebook group. I'll upload those, but there's some great ones coming down. I'm not much for action figures, but some of the statues, like there's going to be a Batman Arkham Asylum, black and white statue where it's like it's Batman from the cover, basically, holding the Batarang. So.
Is it just Batman, or do they have the Joker, a Joker one too, or?
There is a Joker one that's coming out, and also,
cause that's what I would be interested in, is Joker.
I think there is a Joker one out already. There's a Catwoman coming out, and also, I think it's a Man-Bat that's coming out too. And there's also another Batman Black and White done by another artist. I don't recall who. It didn't really necessarily catch my attention. DC was kind of focusing on some of their you know, periphery products as opposed to the comics.
That's interesting. Personally, I'm not a big DC fan. Not like I am with Marvel, anyways.
Oh yeah, the love that I have. Well, the dedication, I guess you could say, that I have with Marvel or following, is not as strong with DC. Just because the way they handle their universe. I think they do a fair job with Batman, but, you know, for that, they're a little bit almost too sci-fi for me.
I know exactly where you're coming from. Seems like the Marvel characters, you know, they're more, you know, human-like, so you can relate to them more.
Right. As said before, they're more, I think, a more relatable group of superheroes.
Alrighty. So what else did you see?
Well, I think the two coolest things that I saw were the was this indie group, indie comic group called Zenoscope. That's their production name. They publish all their own stuff. And what they do is they've had an ongoing story arc, an ongoing series of Grimm's fairy tales. And what they do and what they've done is make it very, they make all of their stories very adult themed. They deal with very adult issues and situations. And their artists are very stylized, but almost, I don't want to say stereotypical to placate to men. But, you know, if every woman, like nearly every woman in their series looks like, you know, something out of One of Our Dreams or something, you know, well-endowed and, you know, well-endowed breasts, long legs, you know, toned, not overly muscular, you know, just that kind of, almost that stereotypical or objectification of, you know, style. However, there were several women lined up to purchase their stuff, so I guess they couldn't be too offended. Yeah, I'm not going to turn into a sexist thing here. But I've read their first two volumes. I picked up a couple of their graphic novels of Grimm's fairy tales, and I just ordered some more of them. So each one's a separate. Basically, each comic book, if you did buy them individually, would be one of Grimm's fairy tales. Be it, you know, the Pied Piper, Hansel and Gretel, Cinderella. You know, it's almost like any Disney movie that has ever been made is a Grimm's fairy tale.
And how do they differ from, like, you know, the actual story, you know?
Yes, can you give us an example of the adult?
Sure. Peter and the Jack and the Beanstalk, excuse me. The guy is kind of Jack, the character that, that ends up being Jack, because each character then runs into this woman who has this, you know, book of Grimm's fairy tales, and it shows them, you know, a possible outcome of what could happen. So this guy's kind of a lowlife, and, you know, he has a family to support. He has a wife, you know, and an infant child, and, you know, he needs to provide for his family. So, you know, he's going out to make a drug deal or something like that. And but he runs into the woman, and she tells him the story of, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk. And so he's like, well, you know, we all know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, of buying the stupid beans, selling the cow for the beans, and him going up, finding the ogre, stealing some gold. But what happens is Jack's wife doesn't want him to do this, saying, wow, thank you for the money. This is great. You know, we have enough to live off of for a year, maybe more. And he's like, well, we can go get more too. And so he gets greedy, but he goes back one too many times. The ogre follows him, comes down, you know, starts chasing him down the beanstalk. Sure, he chops down the beanstalk, and the ogre falls, except it crushes his house where him and his wife and child are.
Ah.
So, you know, I mean, it kind of twists things. I'm kind of looking at one now. There was one, the story of Bluebeard, where here's one, the Pied Piper. These guys are trying to rip off, these two brothers are trying to rip off somebody. And you know, their kid, one of them has a kid, and one of the brothers is gun shy about ripping the guy off. So the woman tells him the story of the Pied Piper, and you know, after these two guys don't pay the Pied Piper for taking the rats out, the Pied Piper comes back, takes their children, and then after some time the kids come back, but they come back as, you know, every night they would become rats. They would become these giant rats. To punish the townspeople for not paying in full, you know, for ripping them off. So, you know, and then when he gets back, and he's like, okay, I don't want to do this. You know, I don't want to rip this guy off. It's too late. The guy gets a box, and there are two ears in it, and it's the ears of his wife, you know, saying, pay me in full or your kid's going to die, you know, and then your wife. So kind of like, granted, I'm not getting into situations where I'm ripping people off and, you know, some thug's gonna come and, you know, take my family and, you know, start dismembering me or, you know, my family. So, you know, I know not to rip people off. Yeah, that sort of thing. But it's new takes on it, I guess you could say. It's applying it in a way that we wouldn't necessarily think of.
Interesting.
Well, the original Grimm Grimm Brothers wrote them a lot darker than they are now. So it kind of sounds like it's getting to a bit more true to what it originally was.
That's
with a modern take, I guess.
Yes. I could agree to that. I didn't know that the original Grimm fairy tales were really dark, but I knew that they were all about, you know, morality and making, you know, the right choice, you know, in doing the right thing.
Huh.
They also published their another series, Return to Neverland and Escape from Neverland, or excuse me, Wonderland and so Return to Wonderland and Escape from Wonderland. And Alice is an adult. She's crazy from her time in Wonderland, but her daughter goes there. So it's kind of her story. I ordered that series. So I guess I can have a full review. And that is actually an R-rated comic.
Interesting. So these comics, they're just available at comic stores, or are they, you know?
I think it's available through their website.
Okay. So I couldn't pick it up from my comic shop?
No.
Probably okay.
Not. Chances are not. I can put the website in the Skype chat.
Well, talking about Alice in Wonderland, did you guys see the sci-fi short or mini series?
No, I didn't. I didn't know there was one.
Yeah. They did one a while back on the Wizard of Oz called Tin Man. That was good. I kind of wanted to see what their take on Alice would be, but I did miss it.
At least, so I feel bad about that.
Oh wow, these look pretty interesting.
Yeah, the artwork was initially what hooked me up.
So which one would you recommend someone, you know, get first to see if they like it?
Definitely start from Grimm's Fairy Tale. Grimm Fairy Tales, Volume 1. You know, starting there just to kind of see, to get the style of the art. You know, kind of like see what they're doing. But the whole Wonderland thing is its own separate thing. It started after the Grimm Fairy Tales.
Interesting.
Okay, I have to say the Three Bears, that one, that looks like a frat house.
Yeah. Wow.
It's funny, some of the alternate covers that they had.
Wait a minute.
They show in the back. It's,
does that magazine say Floozy? Yeah, it does. That's funny. Magazine on the cover of the Three Bears says Floozy.
Yeah, that's...
Got a woman. That's pretty funny. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna probably order the first one to see if I like it. Based off of your recommendation.
Yeah. I thought they were great. I even got a business card from them. I guess you can edit this out though. I can contact them and they'd be happy to do an interview with us.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So
I mean, get the stuff if you want, read it, you know, just so we can have some sort of, knowledge of what we're talking about.
That would be cool. I'm not sure if it would be, you know, if your fans would like it much, but on OFR, but our fans might think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they are. I know our. It's not our thing to kind of just focus one thing on one aspect. So, you know, give them I can send them an email. I'll forward you their information. We can try to get in contact with them.
Alrighty, cool.
Oh, and the other thing.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if you've heard of this webcomic called VG Cats or Halo Lulz, I guess. Kind of like a combo of like Halo and LOLZ, where that's specifically a site where people can upload funny screenshots and, you know, put their own caption on it, you know, to make kind of like a, you know, just a funny thing, like LOL Cats.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay. They were partnered with VG Cats, which is an ongoing webcomic series. And they were there, and I was introduced to them a few years back from a roommate. And so I got to meet a couple of their artists, and I got a couple autographs. But some of their t-shirts are, you know, pretty, they actually have a specific Pokemon webcomic called Super Effective. But here I'm putting the site in the chat. But it was really nice to meet them, and they were actually one of them had a Pokewalker, and he said, "Hey, here, let's do it." I'm like, "Oh wow, this is the first time I've actually done it."
Yeah, they actually have some pretty interesting shirts.
Yeah, That's what I think they're, it almost seems like they're most famous for that. Like, you know, like Navi from, Ocarina of Time. Hey, listen, you know, like it draws on a lot of gaming experiences and gaming memories and, you know, making fun of them. So, you know, it's really gamer centric.
Yeah. Shirt with Pikachu with a cape and glasses.
So that was probably, yeah, one of the other highlights of the whole thing, because I just actually stumbled upon them because they were mixed in with all the other comic store owners that had bought booth space and were selling their stuff, and I was like, wait a minute, this is all video game. Wait, that's VG Cash. I'm like, oh wow, yeah, I kind of like, yeah, had a fanboy moment there. Let's see, but normally how these expos go, it seems like it's about 15% company sponsored, or you know, company exhibits. 70% comic store owners looking to, you know, sell their goods, but you can only see, you know, Spider-Man number one or Action Comics number one so many times before it, you know, it kind of loses its value.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's awesome. Oh crap, it's $500.
Yeah, I'm like, oh wow, it's $4.99 over there. Ooh. You know, it's kind of like, it just becomes a big bidding war. You know, there are a couple places that had backlog of comics. You know, each a dollar. So, or, you know, a quarter bin. So, you know, I actually found one that I needed in the dollar bin, so I was really happy about that. But, you know, I'm thinking back on it now, I'm like, damn it, I had some money. I could have just said, hey, here's, you know, here's a 20. I'm going to take this box now. So, but, they have all their stuff, you know, bust statues, all that kind of stuff and swag and, so, you know, it kind of loses its appeal after, you know, the second row where you're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Oh, wait a minute. It's over there, too, and over there. So, you know, and then sadly what they do is they put the artist, they have this section called Artist Alley in the back, and it's all these independent artists most of the time. I actually saw J. Scott Alexander, who has done some art for The Amazing Spider-Man. So, that was really kind of cool to see. But other than that, there were a lot of independent stuff. I actually bought an independent interpretation of Captain America. It's kind of I'm just a big fan of that. Unfortunately, I didn't have, like, a poster tube, which I probably just should have gotten. And, you know, and then bought a couple more. But, you know, you can find it pretty cheap there. You know, it's always something nice to have to kind of instead of their, you know, the official corporate version of it. You know, you just find an independent artist and, you know, get their impression and how they see each hero. You know, sometimes it can be off the wall, but sometimes, you know, it's really pretty good. And they could do, you know, they could do art for, you know, one of the major companies.
Yeah, but, you know, poster tube, come on. Didn't PAX East, you know, teach you anything?
Yeah, I know.
Shit. I think everybody's posters ended up ripping their Red Dead Redemption posters.
PAX Prime, I will have a poster tube.
Same.
I've got a drawing tube left over from school.
Oh, it was ridiculous. They just rolled up the posters and gave them to you. They didn't have a rubber band, you know, nothing. So everyone's posters ended up ripping by the end of the day.
They also have, some of them do their own comics as well. I really didn't get the chance to see much of them. I kind of walked by everybody, you know, kind of browsing around. It seemed like they weren't showing a lot of their art initially. Like, it seemed like they either had a book or they wanted you to come talk to them or something before they showed you, you know, what art they had for sale. Which I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with. I think kind of like, hey, let your work speak for yourself. There were some people that do their own stuff. It really wasn't my niche market, or, you know, it wasn't my, I really wasn't in the market to, you know, buy an independent, comic book, you know, cause, you know, either it wouldn't be good or it would be good and I wouldn't get the chance to get it until, you know, I wouldn't get the chance to get more of the series. Excuse me. Until, next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a drawback. And I was looking for one, this one group that I found last year, and I didn't get the chance to find them because I really like some of their work, and wanted to get it, but couldn't find it, unfortunately. So.
Question, did you see any politic comics?
Let's see. Okay, I'm really trying to think now. Not that I can think of offhand. It seemed there were one guy's store or, you know, booth I visited. They did have some politic comics, but it wasn't rampant or anything. Like when I went to Wizard World, that was kind of like the big cash in for all the politic ones. This one was a lot more subdued, and they're kind of like, okay, that fad's over. We're not going to waste time or the space. You know, we're not going to waste the space to show it off. So I was happy about that.
Yep. I think everyone knows how I stand on that. So, but yeah. Did you, when you were there, did you hear any of the announcements that were being made or?
No, I think a lot of the announcements were made were on Friday. They were announcing some winners for, you know, some contests, but it really wasn't anything like, nothing like the Joss Whedon, announcements.
I think that was made separate, I think. Looking online now, but I mean, you talked about the Captain America, you know, the new series of them.
Right. They didn't have, they didn't really have any, like, say, okay, we're going to officially announce Captain America, you know, the new Captain America actor. You know, they didn't have anything like that. They had a banner, with one of the, Captain America Reborn covers on it, where he's kind of like overlooking, where he's kind of like hunched down, I guess, with the shield. I think it was the cover to 6. Yeah, it was the last one. But as far as announcements go, wasn't too much. They were actually looking to, they had a separate booth for props that were used in the Iron Man movie, the original. So, you know,
oh, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, if you had deep pockets, you know, it would be it was worth it. But otherwise,
What kind of stuff was it?
There was a reproduction of a reproduction prop of the crushed Iron Man mask from, I guess, the last battle on the roof in the first movie. They had I did take a picture his original big suit, the one that he like soldered together.
Oh, in the cave.
Yeah, they had kind of like they had the chest and the head of that. They had his, I guess, what is it, the electromagnet, like power generator.
Yeah. Huh.
They had a couple of those, you know, that would light up and stuff. But those were like, I think, like $4,500 or something. I mean, it was outrageous the prices that they were asking for some of this stuff.
And there were people there who bought them, I bet.
Oh, there probably were. They had sheets. You know, flyers and cards to go bid online for stuff. But I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. I'll take a picture of that, but I'll just take a picture. They had, the glove, like his gloves, you know, his forearm armor, you know, different parts of his armor you could buy. But it was all, some were like officially used in the movie and some were just reproduction.
Interesting. But yeah, I'm looking right now at the two Captain America comics over Steve Rogers Super Soldier and Captain America Patriot.
Yes, I did see that. I did see those on I think Marvel.com. I think I saw some announcement or through Marvel's Twitter. I'm excited to see.
That seems interesting. I mean, especially since one of them's a mini series. I think 4 parts. It says 4 issues.
Yeah, I think the Captain America Patriot one is the Captain America that was in between Steve Rogers being frozen till when he was unfrozen.
Yeah,
there was a time where, you know, well, there hasn't been time where there hasn't been a Captain.
That's interesting. Huh. I may give that a read.
Yeah, and I think they also might be doing one for, I guess the. The original Captain America, which was who was African American.
Really?
Yes.
The original was African American. I did not know that.
Neither did I.
short-lived. I think it was kind of like a, they've almost kind of turned it into a side note, just because now that's speaking from the time that they, you know, in the comic book universe time from, you know, 30s and 40s, saying, okay, America wasn't ready for, you know, a black Captain America. You know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's just how, their universe unfolded.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially when Captain America was created, I think, you know,
right. It
wasn't, you know, the black one wasn't, you know, the best time, you know, the best for the time, because when it was like, what, the 40s, the 30s, something like that?
Start of World War II.
Yeah.
So 40s.
Yeah.
Very early 40s.
I looking at another announcement, you know, season 2 of Superhero Squad show. Does that mean anything to y'all?
No. That's kind of like, I guess, getting kids into comics early.
And
it's just bad. I've seen an episode or two. It's just bad.
It's kind of funny because it's on Cartoon Network. So with Disney owning it, you would think it'd be on Disney now.
That might just be from a previous agreement, like because Fox owns Star Wars, but the Clone Wars are on Cartoon Network too.
Yeah, and there's also going to be an Iron Man.
Really?
Iron Man Armored Adventures.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I heard about that.
I know that they've tried to do, you know, different Iron Man shows before, but I didn't know they were redoing it again. Oh, and I did hear this. I think there's going to be a Ultimate Spider-Man movie.
Really?
It's an
animated series.
Yeah, I think.
Wait. Yeah. That's going to be my next topic, yeah. But
okay.
The Iron Man Armored Adventures, the story on geeksofdoom.com says it's not going to have Spider-Man, but it will include new characters, including Bucky, Hercules, Zeus, and Captain Marvel, for whatever that means. I mean, that's
kind of odd because, you know, Bucky's Captain America's sidekick, so.
Yeah. That should be interesting. As long as he's not in high school, you know. God, that series was awful. I watched it just because it was on Netflix.
Which one?
The Iron Man where he was in high school.
No.
Yes. The first six episodes. It's on Netflix.
Oh.
It was awful. Oh. If you want a good laugh, I suggest watching it.
Or
a good cry. Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
And also, like we started to say, you know, Disney XXD, whatever that channel is, I don't know. I don't watch Disney, but it's going to have an animated Ultimate Spider-Man series, along with Avengers.
Huh.
So, I mean, that should be interesting. I've been wanting a good Spider-Man series for a while.
Oh, yeah, there hasn't been one for a long time.
Since the 90s, yeah. Probably.
Yep.
Yep.
I know a lot of people like the MTV one that came out after the movie, but that was just awful, in my opinion.
Really? They had one?
Oh, yeah. They had one on MTV.
Was that the one that Jack Black did a voice for?
I don't know, but it took place, like, right after the first movie. Like,
was it live action?
No, it was an animated series, but it was weird looking. I think it wasn't like, how would I explain it? Looked really, you know, computer animated, and they were trying to make it look more, you know, more real than it actually was.
Was that the Spectacular Spider-Man?
Oh, I don't know. I'll look that up, but while I'm doing that, the Avengers, an Avengers series, that seems interesting, you know? I would.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd totally watch that.
Oh, yeah, I would, too. I just know that they would have to take, you know, there would be episodes that would drag and would be, you know, okay, we're going to focus on this character, you know, okay, now this episode we're going to focus on probably Ant-Man or something, but
That would be pretty funny, but
Ant-Man and his glorious many names.
Yeah.
I think it says it was just Spider-Man, the anime. No, I don't know. But it was pretty bad. I think it was maybe just Spider-Man, I don't know. But it was on MTV. And that's basically the time MTV was going down the drain. Because they had that, yeah. They had some wrestling, they tried doing their own wrestling show. I mean, they were starting to have shows like that, you know, more reality shows, and that was the time where they were basically, you know, stepping away from music.
It was Spider-Man, the new animated series.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, and it, same storyline, same world as, you know, the first, or the movie, from the first movie. So, and you know how bad the movie, you know, derailed from the actual series.
Yeah, started there.
But, yeah. And another announcement, let me look. Oh yeah, there and more animated series from Marvel. They say, you know, Iron Man, if they've already said, and then they have an X-Men / Wolverine for whatever. I mean, they've made so many X-Men series, you know.
Yeah. Huh. And like, which one?
I don't know if Disney can handle all this animation. I know the Korea team is going to pick up some of it.
Yeah, it seems like whatever channel that is, it's going to be, you know, the Marvel channel. Disney Marvel channel. With, you know, just seems like they're shelling out all kinds of animated series, you know, whether to go with the movies or, you know, just for whatever other reason. But so, was that, got anything else you want to talk about for your, that you saw?
Kick-Ass was the big flavor of the month. Well, it was the flavor of the month there. You know, you could find, if every booth had, you know, had a Kick-Ass, you know, section where you could get the series there, you know, original runs and everything. But on Friday, I know that they had some of the characters there. So I unfortunately missed that. But I didn't get to see any panels. I really wasn't all that interested. And I was surprised that IGN had a little section there off to the side away from the main floor. So I was really surprised to see them there. Hmm. But other than that, that's pretty much my experience.
Yeah. Huh. And this wasn't announced that, you know, I guess, you know, since there were a bunch of different announcements, you know, around CE2, E2. Yeah. Okay. I always say that wrong, but I had to think. But like for one, where is it? Leonard Nimoy, he's retiring from acting and won't be in the new Star Trek movie.
Hmm. Not much of a Star Trek fan, but I can appreciate Nimoy.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of a shame, you know, because he was pretty good in the first or in the newer one, but
he was good in the old ones too.
Yeah. Yeah, true, but yeah. And what else? Oh, we were talking about this earlier. Marvel's going to make a bunch of low-budget movies with lesser popular characters. Luke Cage, Dazzler, Kazar, Doctor Strange, and Power Pack. Honestly, the only one I would be interested in would be Doctor Strange. Just because
Cage he's pretty cool, too. But The other ones, I have no idea who they are.
I was gonna say, yeah, I'll second you with Luke Cage. I think his story would be, you know, should be one that deserves a full budget. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying go out and get Will Smith in it, but you know, I can't even imagine how bad that movie would be if they got him. You know, and I'm not saying any typical black guy has to be Will Smith. There's plenty. They could get some really good people to, you know, to play him. To play Luke Cage. Because he has a good story, I think.
I hope to God it's not Will Smith, because Will Smith is basically Will Smith in almost every role. I mean, oh wow, that's funny. It says Dazzler could be set in the 70s disco era and be awesomely cheesy. Wow. I honestly, you know, I've heard of Dazzler, I think, but I've never really, you know, seen anything, but Kazar and Power Pack, I just don't know who they are. And so I'm not really too interested in that, but
yeah,
$20 to $40 million budgets. That's pretty low considering how much Spider-Man or not, you know, well, Spider-Man's not Marvel. The movies aren't, but considering how much, you know, Iron Man and even Fantastic Four gets, I mean, that's pretty low. Be surprising to see what those are, or what, you know, what the outcome of those are.
I just think it's just going to end up being a cheap money grab like the original, the John Woo Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah, that abortion should, you know, can stay hidden.
Oh, and speaking of, we were speaking of Will Smith, the Men in Black 3 in 3D. That's funny. I'm just grinning right now. I just have a big grin on my face because that's just hilarious.
I sure don't.
That just has popcorn flick written all over it.
Oh, you know they're going to use the big 3D parts are going to be the little, you know, mind wipe thing and some of their gadgets. I mean, they're going to do the little mind wipe device and you're going to be blind from it. not be able to see the next 20 minutes of it. I'm calling it now. But I mean, I'm surprised. It's been how long since the last Men in Black movie?
I didn't think they could have had a place to take it after, too. But, you know, I guess it is kind of, I know that they had that animated series.
Oh, God.
So, you know, I don't know. It does seem like it has just a perpetual universe, so.
Yeah, it's like, just, you know, people who've seen Men in Black, you know, they'll go and watch it. Just because of the name. And because it's Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
And they just want more Danny Elfman music.
But yeah, those aren't comic related, but that they're on the same site as, you know, geeksofdoom.com, which I'm looking at all the C2E2 news on, because they have a really good coverage of it.
Better than what I could do.
comic Vine has nothing, like, as in written articles. They just have a bunch of videos.
Yeah, I mean, see, the site has a bunch of stuff that I'd comment on, but I don't even know. I mean, Casanova returns this July through Marvel's Icon Comics. I don't know what that means. It's C2E2 new, you know, but I have no idea what that means.
I know that Casanova used to be a BBC show, or not BBC, but British show, and David Tennant was on it. He was Casanova. That's all. Probably something completely different, but hey.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But I mean, that just shows you how in deep, you know, how much coverage they actually got. Then again, you know, that's, you know, their site. So, you know, they have a bunch of people probably dedicated to covering that and finding stories to write. But, you know, well, we got about an hour reporting. That I say that's pretty good for, you know, 6.5. Is there anything else, you know, you two would want to discuss? Anything? I mean.
No, I'm good.
Alrighty. Well,
thanks for having me on.
thanks for coming on. You know, next year expect me, you know, down in Chicago because I'm probably gonna come down there for the convention.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, then I'll get the three-day pass, and you know, we'll rock it out.
I mean, Chicago's not too far from me, so
nice and central for everybody. You know.
Yeah.
Two airports makes it for easy travel.
And, I mean, see, a lot of announcements came out of this year, so, you know, next year, you know, who knows? With all kinds of movies coming out in 2011, there might be a lot of previews and cool stuff, but.
That would be amazing because, you know, what is it? San Diego happens in June, is it? They don't compete with E3, do they?
They come out, like, right after E, like,
yeah,
a couple weeks after.
Soon.
Okay, Because, you know, right then you're in the heart of the movie season. So, man, if Chicago became the big event, I'd be blown away. I really would. You know, especially with all of Marvel's, you know, new movie stuff coming out.
Yeah. Ew. It's just a shame there's nothing around me. No conventions, nothing. The closest one is like Houston or something like that. Akon, not the rapper, but
anime.
Yeah.
You just gotta know where to look, and you know, comic book stores are a great place to start.
Yep. But with that, you know, I guess this, you know, has been episode 6.5. You know, just basically covering some stuff that, you know, was recently announced. And so I'm glad we had Patriot or Matt on, you know, telling us all the stuff and making us jealous and making me decide I'm coming down or coming up there. Yeah. next year. So thank you for coming on.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. And quick shout out to my crew, Vic Joe, Tin Pan, Vlad's, and Blue. Yeah, support the site, openforumradio.com.
Exactly, which we're associated with, and hopefully we'll have our own subforum on there, so
we're working on that.
Yeah, so you know we can get more, we can have a place to geek out, you know, in between shows.
Well, you can post on the front page, so please do so.
Well, thank you for reminding me. We have our contest rules on the front page, actually, at this moment, for our PAX East swag bag, which, you know, Matt said earlier, he had a, you know, he got a Pokemon bag, you know, from PAX. Well, that's the bag filled with a bunch of stuff inside it, which, you know, I'm just going to say one thing, Red Dead Redemption t-shirt. Jaybird,
you already have your winner. I can see it now.
Jaybird, you've already entered, so you can't enter. You've entered three times.
Three times, yeah.
Can't enter anymore. So, and you know, he's really the only one who's entered. So, if anyone's, you know, just leave an iTunes review, or you know, send us an email at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. You know, just tell us, you know, your show suggestions or in what you want to, you know, what you want to hear. Because like we've said before, we have a big list. We're on Google Documents where we just throw show ideas out there and we'll just pick from them, you know. We'll discuss them with each other and, you know, we just will add things whenever we think of it. So who knows, your idea may be on the list. So, I mean, it's a big list.
Yeah.
So,
it's getting bigger before it's getting smaller.
Yeah, we got like the next year's worth of topics set, basically.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yes, but, I mean, like I was closing out, but let me finish closing out, I guess. Thanks again, Matt, for coming on.
Thanks again, guys, for having me. It was a pleasure.
And, oh, thanks, Stuart, for, you know, being able to record late. I know it's an hour later there.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I would have been awake anyway, so.
Okay. Alrighty, well, this has been episode 6.5, Geeks for the Win. We'll see you soon with episode 7.